Okay, so comprehending Kiddush, or as Ann Greenberg just said, putting Kiddush in your cup.
What's in your cup about Kiddush?
What's in your cup about Kiddush? Okay, that would work as well. So the idea this week and next week is really to take us from the beginning of Shabbos till the end of Shabbos, and all of those like little halachos that come up, which probably no one has looked into when they got married, or before that, or just saw whatever they saw, and perhaps just understanding a few of the details. Maybe it means a few small alterations, or not a few small alterations. But that is what we'd like to cover this week, is Shalom Aleichem through Kiddush. I realize Chava actually gave me over the head. She said you left out candle lighting, which is which has a lot of stuff as well. So we'll have to do that another time. Yes. So Shalom Aleichem Kiddush. Next week is Hamotzi through Havdalah.
It's not next week at all.
Oh, in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. Right. Next week Chava's away. So. That leads to all sorts of problems. The least of which is what we do about this year. And then that's right. So 2 weeks after that, the week after that, and the week after that. Okay. So anyways, so Shalom Aleichem. So what is the idea of saying Shalom Aleichem? So there's a whole lot of controversy around Shalom Aleichem. So it's based on the following Gemara. Presumably, it's based on the following Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Tanya Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Shnei Malachi Asharis Malavin Lo La'adam Be'erev Shabbos V'Beis HaKnesses Le'Beisu. That there's two Malachim that escort a person from Shul to their house. Echad Tov V'Echad Ra. One is good and one is bad. V'Cheshevo Le'Beisu U'Matza Ner Dalek. So when you get home and you see that the candles are burning, V'Shulchan Aruch, and the table is set, U'Mitasam Otsas, and the beds are made, there's an idea of making your bed. Remember when I was in yeshiva? Once a week, I'd make my bed. Our Shabbos, yes. So Malach Tov Omer, Yehirat Tzom Shetehila Shabbos Acheres Kach. So the Malach Tov says, Baruch Hashem, maybe next, or he doesn't say Baruch Hashem. He says, Yehirat Tzom may it be that next week Shabbos will be like this. O Malach Ra Ona Amen Bal Korcho. And the Malach Ra has to answer Amen. V'im Lav, Malach Ra Omer, if it's nothing, if things aren't set, the Malach Ra says, Yehirat Tzom Shetehila Shabbos Acheres Kach. Next week Shabbos should be like this. O Malach Tov Ona Amen. Balkorcha.
So
the Malach Tov has to respond. The three things mentioned here are the table is set, the beds are made, and the candles are lit. So the candles are obviously lit, right? The table being set, and the beds are made. And this probably might just mean general tidiness, but those are the words the Gemara uses. And the trash is removed, right? And yes. So this Gemara actually, before one even gets into Shalom, the specific issues of Shalom Aleichem, one does have to raise the issue of Malachim in general, right? So there are, most Rishonim say, you see, the Malachim, the angels that are walking back and forth. The Rambam does not subscribe to this. The Rambam does not assume that there are such a thing as these types of angels that wander around with people, right? The Rambam, there's no such thing. So how does he understand this Gemara? So in the Sefer Maritz Chiyus, which is the commentary in the back of the Gemara, some might recall over the summer we talked about the Maritz Chiyus somewhat at length, very interesting character from the early 1800s. He's the only commentator in the back of the Gemara that actually had a doctorate. Yes.
Wow.
Amongst other interesting facts. So he writes as follows, Nir Be'inai, Ayin Rambam, Sof Hilchos Tefillin, Sheperish Inyan Malachim. There he explains the idea of Malachim, or lack thereof. Hamalavin La'adam, Hainu HaMitzvah Asher Sovin Losa. What does he mean by that? What are these Malachim? They are rather the mitzvos that are surrounding a person. Not necessarily angels, like we think about, but sometimes it might just mean mitzvos. So the mitzvos, what does he mean by that? Probably he means that mitzvah gereris mitzvah, that one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. So that's, what does it mean the Malach has to answer Baal Korach? If you assume that these are beings, right, so what does it mean he has to answer against his will? He says, no. If you have the Yitzhar Tov Yitzhar, and if you did it good 1 week, that makes it that much easier to do it good the next week. So therefore the good angel says, good, Baruch Hashem, the mitzvah says good, and the way that didn't work out for says, I guess next week it's probably going to be like this. If things aren't set for Shabbos, so then the next week also becomes that easier to slack off. So perhaps that's what that Gemara means within the perhaps the more rationalistic school, the Rambam and that chevra. But our most assume that there are malachim that take one back and forth. So there are a few other issues with this. One is the following. The Chassam Sofer brings up, the Chassam Sofer left out Shalom Aleichem. Why did he leave out? There are several people that have left out Shalom Aleichem or various parts of Shalom Aleichem over the years. So one of them is Achsam Sofer. Why? So Achsam Sofer pointed to a Gemara in Brachos. It's almost humorous. And the Gemara in Brachos says as follows: A nichnas lebeis hakisei, one who enters into a bathroom. Omer hiskabdu mechubadim kedoshim misharsei elyon. He says to those people that had, to those that have been escorting him, presumably Malachim, to do kavod l'Elokei Yisrael, harfu imeni actually chanis v'esteret tzoni v'avaleichem. Says, give kavod to Hashem, have some honor for Hashem, you know, leave me alone for a little bit, let me go to the bathroom, I'll come back out, then we'll and you'll rejoin me. Right? So that Gemara is assuming what? That Gemara is assuming that there are Malachim that are walking around with people all the time. Right? So what's so special about Shabbos? So Sam Sofer said, there's nothing about Shabbos. Who are these Malachim that happen to be escorting you home Friday night? Right? They have, maybe they're Malachim, they're wearing their Shabbos clothing, but you have Malachim that escort you during the week, and you have Malachim, you have angels that are escorting you Friday night. So Sam Sofer says, what's the big deal about these Friday night Malachim? Then he goes on and adds in, says, okay, so maybe they're wearing Shabbos clothes. Maybe they're just nice. But he says, but we don't have this custom of before one enters the bathroom to say goodbye to our angels that are escorting us. Why not? So some sort of, presumably we don't have them, or we don't account for them. I mean, we're not at the level that we're going to account for them. So some sort of says, just as we don't account for those, we're not going to account for these either. So therefore the some sort of said or didn't say Shalom Aleichem. That is this. That's source number four. Piyut Shalom Aleichem Lo Haya Omer. All right, that piyut, that little thing of saying Shalom Aleichem, the Chassam Sofer wouldn't say. Va'amru and said in his name, Kimeachas Sheina Nogim Lomer Hischadipim Mechubad. Just as we're not knowing to say the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samacham and Beis about saying goodbye to our angels when we use the restroom, we're also not going to say hello to the angels when they accompany us Friday night. That's not really part of our. Part of our world. Okay, so that is so. Sam Sofer would leave it out. I didn't put it on here. Rav Yaakov Emden wasn't happy about the first line, the first sentence. The Shalom Aleichem Malachei Hashareis Malachei Elu Mimelech Malchei Hamlachim. What do you mean Mimelech? From God? What do you mean from? They were sent. Are they independent? Are they not. He didn't like that. Perhaps within the Rambam school. So he said Melech Malchei. So he left out that letter. So he cut out that Mimelech. He didn't like the Mimelech. Okay. He didn't like that. The Sam Sofer didn't like the whole thing. The Vilna Gaon doesn't like, on source number five, he doesn't like Barchuni L'Shalom. This perhaps is the most famous of the objections to Shalom Aleichem. He doesn't like the idea of asking the Malachim for Brachos. Why not? So they're Malachim. What are Malachim? What do the words mean? What does the word malach mean?
Messenger.
Messenger. They're messengers of Hashem. So a messenger doesn't have the right to choose. Right? The messenger is doing a shlichus. They're being messengers of Hashem. So they were sent with a job. So either their job was to give you a bracha or their job was not to give you a bracha. But to ask them, please give me a bracha, the Vilna Gaon felt was inappropriate. It doesn't fit with the role that we give angels, right? So Vilna Gaon says, Amar Rabbeinu, Shetemal Mashinogim Lomar Bileo Shabbos, Barchuni L'Shon. He was astonished that people would say Barchuni L'Shalom. Similarly, Beslichos Malachei Rachamim.
Machnisei
Rachamim. There says Malachei Rachamim. Machnisei Rachamim. That's not just in Slichos. That is like perhaps the most famous Slicha that we say during the week. And then Ne'ilah is the final Slicha of Ne'ilah, pretty much, I think. Either the last or one of the closest to the last. Machnisei Rachamim Hichnisu Dimoseinu, right? That those that are taking our stuff up, please take our tefillos up, please take our tears up, please take our cries up. And the villain said, what are you asking? You can ask Malachim to do something. Either they're going to do it or they're not going to do it. But to dive into angels, the villain going felt was inappropriate. So for that reason, he left out Barchuni L'Shalom. So the Vilna Gaon would say Shalom Aleichem, Boachem L'Shalom, and then Tzitzchem L'Shalom. So I remember some kind of mock it and say, what do you mean? They come, say welcome, and then you kick them out. What do they do? Right? So that is part of the debate of Barchuni L'Shalom. And finally, there's also a debate about Tzitzchem L'Shalom. What are you doing saying Tzitzchem L'Shalom? They're there for all of Shabbos, so why are you kicking them out at the end of, right, you know, before you even said Kiddush? Right, that doesn't seem too nice. So the Machzis HaShekel is a commentary on the bottom of the regular edition of Shulchan Aruch. It was kind of the Mishnah Berurah before the Mishnah Berurah was the Mishnah Berurah. A kind of a collection of people that came before him, and the Machzis is a shekel right. So three is dicey, pasha the afal gabda malach nishar etzel adam kol yom Shabbos. The malachim are sticking around with you. You come up in l'shavas nusach tzeiskan l'sham. You don't have to change that tefila. He al derech baruch ata b'tzeisecha be'afal gabda in yitzias hamalachim ata. Right, we bless you. Right? We say in. Passing the Torah, Baruch Atah B'Vecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. Right, that's one of the brachos that Bnei Yisrael is given. So yeah, we'll thank you when you leave. You're not necessarily leaving now, but we'll give you the bracha for when you leave. So not necessarily that malachim are leaving now. However, it's not inappropriate to say Tzeischem L'Shalom. Okay, so 1, 3, and 4 all have issues, and all of them perhaps have an issue. I think the middle, though, most people is to say it. I remember when we got married, I was a little more into these types of things, maybe you shouldn't say it, but I realized that this is not going to be good for Shalom Bayis at first Friday night, when all of the decisions for the rest of your life revolving Friday night first Friday, are made, right? He said Shalom Aleichem. However, just the three times, so there is an idea of saying three times, that really is just an emphasis idea. So that was where I drew that. I said, it's difficult enough to say it once. It's controversial enough to say it once. Say it three times a bit too much. That's why in my house we say it. We say one time per paragraph, and we include all the prakim, all the sections in their original in the nusach that's found in the siddur. Yes,
I'm pretty sure that after Yaakov wrestles with the angel, he asks him for a bracha. That would seem to be a pretty good precedent.
He asks him for a bracha.
Get a chodesh if you want.
I think it's very clear.
He said he wouldn't let him go until he gave him a bracha.
So it's a little hard to understand.
Right, does he actually? I'm not sure he gives him a bracha, though.
Yeah, he gives him something.
He says something. What is it? Some boxes or something?
Oh, yeah, someone dropped off some books.
Yeah, we have to go through.
Need to be.
Should I take
Johnson to
come up
there? He's in Israel.
We may not want to look through it. I found one conservative book.
Okay, so I think in that section with the it is in Vayishlach, right? Like Sheni.
Vayomishlach Shulchan Yo Shachar, Shachel Jim Beirach Tami. He says, send me away.
Right. And then what is the response though? I mean, that was did he know it was a malach? Vayomer Lo Mashemecha, Vayomer Yaakov, Vayomer Lo Yaakov, Vayomer Ochen Mecha, Ki Yisrael, Ki Sarisa, Yom Elokim, Vanishim, and Tuchal, right? Your name is going to be Yisrael. And then they tell me your name, he said, I'm not telling you my name, and Vayvarach was so sham, and he gave him a bracha. Yeah, that's true. So you could say one of two things. You could say either Yaakov wasn't recognizing him as an angel, or you could say that was his shlichus. I mean, that was his job.
Maybe not on the level of Yaakov.
Yeah, right. What was the job of that angel? Okay, I don't know. Good point. How do you resolve this? Good question. Okay, so now we move on to Kiddush.
Wait, what happened to
Oh, yeah. Where it happened to Eish Haskayil?
Man,
it's not controversial.
There's nothing to talk about. Eish Haskayil. Well, of course, you say Eish Haskayil.
That's forgiven. Yeah. I was taught that on Eish Haskayil that it's really not that it's also about welcoming Shabbos. So the women in our family sing it.
Oh, the women sing Eish Haskayil.
I get it's about Shabbos.
Yeah, so what?
I get it sung to me by my husband.
Uh-huh.
We all do it together.
And I always find the first words of that parsec isn't so Ishas Chayel Miyimsa. Who could find a Ishas Chayel? No one. And I think that's actually what the words mean. But won't dwell on that. I don't know. I'm not sure what there is. That's a good question. I didn't think about it. I don't know what the history, how far that goes back, where that minute comes from. I mean, Eishes Chayil is in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech had plenty of Eishes Chayils to talk to. Where that snuck into our liturgy.
The famous story of the Chayim. Was asked whether Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, should you say Shlomo Aleichem? Says, well, Shlomo Aleichem is up to you. He said, well, you better say Eishes Chayil.
Okay, so moving on to Kiddush. So there is a lot to talk about with regards to Kiddush. I'll try to just get us through the actual thing, the actual all the things that are done on a weekly basis. So what are we doing when we're saying Kiddush? So we are fulfilling the mitzvah of Zachor Yom HaShavuos L'Kasha, right? The pasuk tells one of the Aseret Dibros, Zachor, right? Remember, sanctify the day or remember the day, and we have to do that. So in theory, there's a whole issue about men being yotzei women, because men fulfilling obligation. Because men in theory fulfill their obligation in shul. Well, if women didn't daven, I'm not saying that women shouldn't daven ma'ariv, but perhaps women may not daven ma'ariv, and then the man comes home, he's saying kiddush for her. She still has a biblical requirement. He only has a rabbinic requirement. And how could he be fulfill her obligation? There's a whole issue about that. No Dvi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Minchas Chinuch. That whole story would be a totally separate shiur. Suffice it to say that. It all gets resolved. Either you assume that the man comes home, he says to the woman, either you assume that the man could be Yotzei woman plus he could be Yotzei everything, meaning Akal Pisha Yotzei Motzi, even though you fulfilled your obligation, you could be Motzi other people. Other possibilities are by coming home, you come home and say, Good Shabbos. And what does the wife respond? Good Shabbos. So what has she just done? She has thereby fulfilled her mitzvah of Zachros Yom HaShabbos L'Kasha. Right? She has mentioned the concept of Shabbos. Third possibility is when a woman lights a lachas neiros, she lights her candles. So she lights candles. Therefore, that's also a recognition of the idea that it is hereby, that it's now Shabbos. And therefore, they probably have fulfilled the biblical obligation that way. There is a rabbinic obligation, however, to say Kiddush Al Hakos. There is a issue. There's a Gemara in the beginning of Masechus Nazir where it talks about a Nazir drinking the wine of Kiddush, which is a little bit odd, right? I mean, Nazirs aren't supposed to drink wine, right? And all of a sudden here, the Gemara there in Tosfos entertains this possibility that a Nazir would drink the wine of Kiddush. How could they possibly do that, right? It's only Din D'Rabbanan, right? According to the Torah, this wine has nothing to do with Kiddush, maybe, and a Nazir is biblically obligated not to have wine. So what's the thought? So perhaps the answer is that even though it's set up that there is a Torah law and there is a rabbinic law, the Rabbanan added the idea of doing it al hakos with a cup when. There's a concept that we have in a couple areas of halacha, Yom Kippur, Chol Hamoed, etc., that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of lays out the framework and the Rabbanim fill it in. And once the Rabbanim fill it in, so that takes on the level of an Isser D'Oraisa. That takes, or a Din D'Oraisa, a biblical ideal, either a mitzvah or a prohibition. So it could be that the Torah said, Zachor, remember Kaddish, remember Shabbos. How do you do that? I don't know. Right? Can I just say, Shabbos? Do I fulfill my obligation? So no, it's possible to say that once the Rabbanan said you have to do Kiddush al Hakos, you have to do Kiddush with a cup of wine, you have not fulfilled your obligation, even on a biblical level, until you have said Kiddush on wine. That is a thought that is thrown out there. Anyways, I've thrown out there.
So what would that mean, that the biblical obligation overrides to the rabbinic?
So one can make, you can make that case. Yeah, you can make that case, and then so there are other ways. You could also do it on challah, as we'll get to shortly. But so maybe he doesn't have to drink wine. But that, just how do you understand the Gemara even thinking that that would be possible? So that's my suggestion. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains as follows: Why do we do Kiddush al Hakos? So he says, "Misharshi mitzvah zu, kedei shnis over mitoch ma'isazel liskor gedola sayom." You'll remember by doing this action the greatness of the day. V'nikva bilvavenu emuna chidush haolam, and will restore our faith in the world. That's literally what it means. Kisheshes yamim asah Hashem, right? For 6 days Hashem created v'alkein nischayavnu lasos hamaisa imayayin. Therefore, we have to do it with wine. Why? L'vishateva adam misor bo harbe shu soid misameach, because a person will be uplifted when they have their seuda and they're happy about it. And this is the theme of the Sefer HaChinuch, by doing whatever actions we do, that uplifts the person, that raises them, and by doing the mitzvahs, that will bring his heart to where his heart is supposed to be. And that is the basis for. That's why Mizeh Hashorish Amu of Zichron Levracha B'Gemara. That's why it says in the Gemara, Shem HaPaschav Vela Adam Yoser Shikai Shalapas. If a person likes the challah more, they should make kiddush on challah. Ki im Misover Tavo Yoser L'Mashu Tav. Because a person will be uplifted more by doing kiddush with that which he has a desire for. Now, no one raises the idea of great. So why don't you bring out the the fleshik, you know, bring out the side steak first and make kiddush on that. So that doesn't seem to be a possibility. That he doesn't bring that up, right? We have ideas of sanctifying things on wine, perhaps even on bread, but not going any further than that. There is, we say Vayechulu, we open up our Kiddush by saying Vayechulu, and you notice in Shul we don't say Vayechulu, right? In Kiddush and Shul we just say, we start with the Bracha Baruch Pir Geffen. So the reason is, you said it before, why are we adding in Vayechulu? So there's a Gemara in source number 8 where it says that if you say Vayechulu Friday night, we consider as if you were a partner in the creation of the world, so therefore everybody should say Vayechulu. Either you say it in Shul and Esri and Shul, or you say it by Kiddush at home, and that way everybody has made that statement and recognized the HaKadosh Baruch was the creator of the world. Okay, so therefore we've gotten Vayechulu. Now, next, Rish Ayin Aleph Sifyun. Although there are several chapters in Shulchan Aruch dealing with Kiddush, this one has like the most like thickness to it. Rish Ayin Aleph Sifyun in source number 9. Sitting, standing, starting, looking, holding, a lot of that stuff is found here. So let's read this section in Shulchan Aruch. Mekadesh ala kos mali yayin, right? You make Kiddush on a cup that is filled with wine. Shelo yeh pagum. It shouldn't be pagum. Another time. it shouldn't be wine that you've been drunk from before. It should be a fresh cup of wine. V'ton komash yaton kos shel birchas hamazon, and all the requirements that you need. It's interesting to learn a lot of this idea of doing things ala kos. The first section in Shulchan Aruch where it talks about doing anything with a cup of wine is by benching, right? So you don't necessarily have that practice anymore. Reasons probably are is that in Europe wine is very expensive. That's probably where it fell out of style. But that is where the halachos are all there, and we'll quote one or two halachos from there ourselves, because that is really the that's kind of where a lot of these things are found. So you need all of those requirements. Omer vayechulu meumad, ve'achar kach omer bar pira gefen, ve'achar kach kiddush. So the language of the machaber is you do vayechulu standing, and then bar pira gefen, and then kiddush. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, that's Rav Yosef Karo. Rav Yosef Karo is saying you do kiddush standing up. Right? That seems to be that is, and of course Rav Yosef Karo is passing for whom? For a Sfarad. Well, if you ask Kim, he's Taskening for everybody. But practically, he's Taskening for Sfaradim. Comes the Ramah for Ashkenazim and says, V'yachol lamu b'shasa kiddush. You can stand while saying kiddush. V'yoser tov leishev. Better to sit. Right? Af b'shash omer v'yachulu. Even when you say v'yachulu. Rak shemaschilin omdim ksas l'kavad Hashem. When you start, maybe you should, like, you know, do a barchu bow, you know, kind of bump up a little bit. Kimachilim yom hashishi vayechulu hashemayim v'nirmas Hashem v'nirmas Hashem. Okay, because by saying vayechulu, that's a reference to Hashem. So that's the standing sitting issue. Make sure we come back to that. There's a few more things to point out. But why would one stand? And why? So it sounds like one would just learn Shulchan Aruch. Yosef Karo says to stand. The Ramah says to sit. Sounds like Ashkenazim should sit, right? So why are you standing and why are you sitting? So comes the Mishnah Berurah and it points out, why are you standing? Omer vayechulu meumad. Why? Shehu edus al brias shemayim va'aretz. The edus be'inan meumad. Because what are you doing when you're saying Kiddush? I'm hereby giving testimony as to the creation of the world. How does one give testimony? You give testimony standing up. That is one of the lachos of edus. So therefore, when one gives testimony, you should do it standing up. And even though you already did it while standing up when you daven, so there's other people around that should do it standing up. So that's the reason to stand. What's the reason to sit? V'yoser tov leishev, says the Mishnah Berurah, d'b'chai gavda, mikri tvei kiddush b'makom suda. That is a better way of establishing your place as being the place that your place of your suda. Kiddush b'makom suda. Kiddush b'makom suda is really part of in 2 weeks' topic, because it's more of a daytime issue than a nighttime issue. Just because of our lifestyles. I mean, kiddush and shul, and then kiddush, and then we eat at home, so how does that play out in terms of kiddush? I want to save that for next time. But there is this concept of kiddush makom suda, so I established this place as my place that I'm making kiddush. And so to the Gruss says this as well. And also, if you want to be yotzi someone else, it's good for them to be sitting with you as opposed to standing with you. And he adds in, even those people that stand, so make sure when you stand in one place and don't wander around the room. Fine. So that is, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to be siding with the sitting idea. So why is it that most Ashkenazim that we know are standing? So that is the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's really based on Hasidus. It's really based on, as much as some people might not want to admit it, most of us do come from a Hasidish block. If you come from Poland, Russia, or Hungary, chances are you have a Hasidish background, and therefore your family minhag would probably be to stand and not to sit. The Aruch HaShulchan also records that he's like, I'm not really sure why, but it seems that everybody is standing for Kiddush, even though Lacha seems to be
to
sit.
What about these people who stand and then sit?
So what's that based on? So that's based on, they're trying to get the best of both worlds, right? You're standing for the Eidus part, and you're sitting for the Kviyas Makom Suda part. You're standing to do the Eidus, the testimony, right? You're putting it together, right? So that's not in Shulchan Aruch, however, that's probably a later, probably from, last 150 years or so.
Yeah. Drink,
right. So I think the Mishnah Berurah, someone here points out, I don't know if it's on the page or not, but certainly when you to drink, one should sit down. That for sure. I thought I put it on the page someplace, but apparently I didn't. Yeah. Okay, so back to that Ramah. He quotes two other halachos. One halacha is, he says, ki matchilim yom hashishi, and the second to last line there. Ki, why? Matchilim yom hashishi, vaychulu hashemayim, v'nirmas hashem b'roshei tevos. That's what it stands for. Because you begin with yom hashishi, vaychulu hashemayim, right? The first letter of each of those is yud, hey, vav, and hey. So that's a reference to the name of Hashem. So that is the real reason why we begin by saying yom hashishi. Right, by Chulu Hashemayim. So that's to bring in, for whatever reason, to bring in the name of Hashem into this, into the beginning of Kiddush. He adds in one more halacha, which we're not going to get back to. I just want to say it. It's mentioned in the Ramah that the Cheshemaschil Yitin Einav Beneros. That when you begin, you should look at the Neros. And then when you make Kiddush, when you actually make it, probably means the bracha itself, because shel bracha, b'chein nirali, and that's what it appears to me. So there is, one should, when one makes Kiddush, this is a little known fact of Kiddush, right, it is in the Ramah, to look at the neros, to remind yourself of the candles, and then to look into the Kiddush. There's an idea of seeing your reflection, actually, in the wine, something about removing blindness or something, if you see your reflection there. So that is, those are two minhagim of Kiddush that have firm basis in the halacha, as they're quoted in the Ramah. But getting back to this, Yom HaShishi issue. So the Ramah just says, it sounds like you get up, pick up a cup of wine, and say, Yom HaShishi Vayichul HaShemayim Varetz Kol Tzva'am. Right? So the Chassam Sofer, in source number 11, kind of says, that's kind of weird. Like, it's very nice that you're invoking the name of Hashem, but the whole Kiddush is now strange, right? The translation of that is, Friday, and Hashem completed all the work on Shabbat. Like, what is the word Friday doing there in terms of the regular Seder? So therefore he says, V'sham divreinu gamkin sheish mefak v'kim komash nogim lahaskel kiddush leil Shabbos kodesh b'viyay v'arvay boker yom hashishi. So he already by his time, the minhag was not just to say the yom hashishi, but to start with v'arvay boker yom hashishi. V'be'emsa pasuk. However, the problem there is a different problem. What's the problem there? The problem is that's not the whole pasuk. Right, the pasuk is Vayara Aretz Hashem Kitov. Hashem saw that was good, and then it was Friday. So there is an issue with dividing a pasuk in half. So Chassam Sofer says, so why don't you say the whole pasuk then? Well, there's a problem with saying the whole pasuk because the Kitov in the beginning of the pasuk is actually a reference to death somehow. That it's Hashem saw that it's good, and that things they'll live and then they'll die. So there's a reference to me. So we don't really want to start Shabbos off by invoking that. So therefore we'll only do the second half, but we do want to invoke an entire phrase, so just saying Friday doesn't really work, so therefore we say Vayera Vayi Boker Yom HaShishi, and perhaps that's also the idea that you may have seen, it's also people say Vayera Vayi Boker Yom HaShishi, right, so where does that come from, changing the thing, because it's the idea of the Ramah is to do Yom HaShishi Vayichulu HaShemayim. So that is the source. But either way, you should have in mind Yom HaShishi Vayipulu HaShemayim, that is an invocation of the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore that's also where the Rama says to kind of stand a little bit for that section.
To reference to the
Yitzhahara.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
God said everything's very good.
Okay, fine.
He says the Yitzhahara. But it's also not something you want.
What was the reference to the Yitzhahara?
Well, Tim is called a Shura Savi. He made Tov Ma'od. It was very good.
Right. Tov Ma'od is reference to the right, that is the Yitzhahara. Right, that was in the Yitzhahara share we gave over a year ago. But right, the Chassam Sofer in the Life on the Bottom, he says Tov Ma'od Zeh Mavis. He says a reference to death, but maybe it's the same thing or a different Tov, whatever. But there's something that we don't associate with being good in that pasuk. Okay. There is, if one looks in the Shulchan Aruch, I remember that first week, we got married on a Thursday, that first week of Shavuot Brachos, and then like the week after, I'm scared out of my mind. I gotta do Friday night, I learned all those halachas. So all of a sudden you open and you try to figure out, okay, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's probably what we should do unless otherwise known, so you take a look in Shulchan Aruch. When are you supposed to wash? So what does it say? These are the words of Shulchan Aruch. Achar shekiddush ala kos. After you make kiddush on kos, notel yadu mevarach on tiyos yadayim. You wash your hands and you make a bracha on tiyos yadayim. V'im notel yad of kodem kiddush, gali daite derifta chavivala. And if you wash your hands before kiddush, that shows that you really wanted the bread. Lo yikach al yayin ela al pas. So therefore you shouldn't make the kiddush on wine, but rather on bread. So the Mechaber is recommending that you wash after kiddush, which is what we probably all do. Comes the Ramah and says, and we want to hold like the Ramah, there are those that wash their hands first before Kiddush and then make their Kiddush on wine. He says, and that's what everybody does in Krakow and in these countries and Poland, and you shouldn't change it. Usually when the Ramah says that means he's pretty stark about it, right? And except for the night of the Seder night, it's not going to work out so well. So why don't we do that? So Mishabur already quotes that many Achronim say that we do it like the Mechaber said. What was the Ramah thinking? Why is the Ramah so hard about this idea that you should wash before Kiddush?
So there is no break.
Why not? What's the issue?
You have to go outside to wash your hands.
Yes, so maybe. Although, I don't know. What I always assumed was...
Whenever we do it like that, it's because the sink's a long way from something like the sukkah or...
Oh, really? Yeah, sukkahs, you'll do that? Oh, interesting.
Well, no, because we moved the water bucket outside now, so it's not a big deal. But when we're eating on the patio, we wash first and then go out.
Oh, okay. I assume that the Ramah's reasoning is that probably more than 50% of the time they're actually making kiddush on challah. That was my thought. That was the regular practice. So most because they couldn't afford wine. I mean, the Ramah was dirt poor, dirter than dirt poor, and that was life in Krakow. So that was my assumption that was the minhag because that was the minhag in terms of their regular seder hadvarim. They were probably going to make kiddush on challah, and the rare occasions when they were lucky enough to get some wine. So we're not going to change that order. But now when we have wine on a regular basis, so the order has been changed. That's what I assumed. And that demonstrates that there would be a sociological difference between Poland and Israel. But I don't know. The other thoughts also that maybe it's harder to get water. I don't know. But that is the Ramah, but that is not the... other than, I think Germans do this, although Germans are the ones that could afford wine.
I don't know. I went to someone's house, they were survivors, and they were from Germany, and that's what they did.
Right.
My boss in Israel is from Strasbourg, which is one of my friends.
My grandfather did not. My grandfather was from Frankfurt, so I think Frankfurt has different minhagim than the rest of Germany. Yes,
Was that when Ralph Hirsch was from there?
Yeah, or if he was after that, but his family also came from Poland, so that's two reasons he got him. I'm not sure what minute Frankfurt is, you can find out, but he was Polish, he was really Polish and then lived in Frankfurt for his childhood and then moved on, yeah.
When did the Ramah live?
The Rama lived, I believe, what, 1600s earlier, 1500s.
Was there running water?
No.
So it was complicated for everybody to go and wash, and it was going to take time.
Well, it was just as complicated as it was. You know, they didn't have it in Tzfat either. They didn't have running water, right? So they had their buckets probably. So I don't know if it was. I don't know how far it was. I don't know. I never saw that discussed as being a problem. Like, oh, we're going to... I don't think they were going out to the well and drawing water to wash. I think they had collected their water for the day already at that point. That's my assumption. Yeah. Yeah, as I think Rabbi Schachter once said in Washington Heights, where they got the different Germans pointing around, here you got to know the difference between your frankfurters and your hamburgers. All right, so holding the cup. So here's an example where it's not really talked about at all in Hilchos Kiddush, but you got to take a look in the first area where it talks about holding the cup, and that is in the laws of benching. So in the middle of the laws of benching, it says, what do you do? Mekablo b'shtei yadav. You could receive the cup with two hands. V'cheshiyaska levarach notlo b'yaminavu. When you make the bracha, you should hold it in your right hand. V'lo yaseiv espil. You shouldn't even use your left hand at all. That's what it says, okay? V'ahinu dafka shlo tigasmo b'kos. Avalei nosan asmo tachas yamin l'sarei amotri. He says, if you want to just hold the left hand under the right hand to help it out, so he says, that's okay. So that's not such a big issue. However, umagbiu mehakarka tefach, but you should pick it off the ground at least a tefach. If you're sitting on the floor, if you're sitting at a table, magbiu me'al shulchan tefach. There should be at least a tefach off of the. Or at least the tefach off of the table. And he should keep his eyes on it so that he keeps in track of it. But that's really by benching. Other than Kiddush, you got to look at the candles and then look back. But the picking up of a tefach is something that I think a lot of people don't recognize. But the idea of picking up so that people, the Mishabur adds in, I'm included, there adds in so that people could see it. Right? There should be a distance between. So if it's a little hard, especially if you're sitting for Kiddush, it's a little hard to pick it up. So you can move it off the table and hold it above, and therefore it is above tefach above. But the idea it should be somewhat raised. There is a.
Is your dominant hand is your left hand?
Right, I believe it is in your left. I think this is one that you switched to your left. There is a. There's a rule for it, and I always forget the rule about which ones you switch, which ones you don't. This one seems to be one you would switch.
He makes it in his left hand.
Yeah, I think this would be a stronger hand kind of thing.
It's only like 3-4 inches, right?
Yeah, right, about 3-4 inches. I think they say in Yiddish folklore that they're giving a rav or someone was making Kiddush and they gave him a really big cup. So why are you giving me such a big cup? He says, oh, because we hold the Chazon Ish, the big size Chazon Ish. And he can't find the Kiddush, and he picks it up all the way in the air. What are you doing? So I hold the Chazon Ish, you got to pick it all the way up in the air. Okay, but holding it like this is probably sufficient. I don't know if it means the bottom of the, like, what if you have a stem? I don't know how that fits in. But it should be picked, it shouldn't just be nudged up. That is, that's one of the halakhas here. And then finally, the idea of distribution. So this is an issue, distributing of wine. So the Shulchan Aruch does record, Rishayin Al Sif Yudalid, that it talks about the amount that you have to drink, and the person making kiddush should drink a mali lugmav. He says if you can't, which is one cheekful, which I don't know, it's an amount of wine. Yeah, probably about a shot glass. Of course, probably conveniently a little bit more than a shot glass. but that is the amount that the drinker has to drink. Theoretically, he could combine with other people to reach the shear. Okay, but he does add in, we call makma on the second line, mitzvah mina mufchar sheyita mukulam. The best thing is that everybody should have a drink. That everybody should be able to drink something. Not necessarily a mali lugmav, but that they should all have something to drink from the cup of wine.
Okay. When we were hunting for the Kiddush cup last week, I was told that the smaller the better because you had to drink at least half the Kiddush cup.
So there is a hiddur. I'm not sure if it's mentioned. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's mentioned here. In Hilchos Pesach, it talks about drinking. I had to?
Yes.
When were we hunting? This was Friday night?
We didn't buy the Kiddush cup last week, and you were going to be stuck in one of those. The big
Friday night or Shal Shittus? No. It would be in the morning. Got it. So there is a machlokas whether you have to drink rov revius. I'm really looking for what we call a rov revius. Revius is the minimal amount of drink usually. That's for bracha achrona. So you have to drink the majority of that or the majority of the cup. So that's the machlokas we showed him, and the Shulchan Aruch says it's best to be, try to be yotzei stricter possibilities. Certainly on Pesach night, that's where the machlokas is found. But I think the Ikar HaDin we pass in the other way. That's really just a Mali Lugmav that's required. But best to avoid by using a smaller cup.
Anyway, we're going to waste a lot of grape juice anyway.
Right, and we found the Kiddush cup next to where it was, so it went away.
Right. So there is one further thing where it talks about by the ending of benching, right? That after you benching, so you make the barbier geffen and you drink, and in fact it says, mentions there in Shulchan Aruch, the afrikaki tamu achirim, and afterwards other people should drink as well. This you'll never see. Even those people that bench halakos, you'll never see people then go and have their own wine. For reasons unclear, why not? But you won't see that. But anyways, in the Mishnah Berurah, so for some reason the Bar Ilan didn't work on this Mishnah Berurah, so I have to put in the original source. What does he say here? For Vav, he says, you have to read a little more in Shulchan Aruch. In the second line in Shulchan Aruch, it's all from one cup. So the Mavarech can pour into their cups in their hands. However, they, the passengers, right, they shouldn't drink until the bencher actually drinks himself. So however, if he didn't pour into their cups, they could in theory drink before the person drinks.
Means they have their own.
So what does that mean? That sounds like they had their own cup, right? So Mishnah Berurah says, right, they weren't relying on his cup, but the reason he didn't have to pour into theirs, why? They came to Yasi Berchaso, their Yotzi with his bracha, and came kosos kol echan mikre koshal bracha. And therefore each and everybody's cup is called the koshal bracha, which is why those that have been to our home, which I guess is pretty much all of you, right? We pour, right? We have the cups that are out for everybody's, right? Instead of the person making kiddush pouring into all those individual cups, that's what we do. We put out the cups in the middle before kiddush, and that way everybody has their own cup before kiddush starts, and therefore you don't have to start pouring and making a mess and doing all of those and investing in big pitcher kiddush cups.
You're saying that even if, okay, so what you're saying there is, you don't have to even pour a drop in.
Right. Right, that's what he seems to be referring. He seems to assume that everybody has their own already. So it sounds like
one person's bracha, but you have your own cup.
Right, so this is not found in Hilchos Kiddush, this is found in Hilchos Benching, but L'chora, it appears that they should be the same halachos. So I'm doing a little bit of addition here, 2 + 2 = 4, but I think that works. That's the way my parents did it also.
If it's your manner to pour a little bit for everybody, then that's okay.
So people know that is right. I'm giving an additional etza. I mean, if somebody wants to especially when you have large meals, if you have a shul suit and things like that, so sometimes people feel bad, etc. So I think there's certainly what to rely on, that everybody will have their own cup.
We're in Cincinnati, and the bulk
he did this old.
He recommended his congregants that he just said.
What, you mean he gave a share on this topic and recommended?
No. Our in-laws. Mentioned. Our in-laws. They said very ball codes like this.
They box it. Okay. Then I'm in good company.
It fits with the famous Gemara. If you know what it was, didn't know. So you got to make the great kiddush. You didn't know what it was. So he said, "Rabbi Govan, he saw somebody drinking."
Right,
you're already drinking before he drank.
Right, those with a really keen eye might recognize that this source was taken from that source sheet from the share we gave on that about 5-6 months ago. But yes, all right. So thank you for coming. Hopefully, our kiddush should be more mikudeshet.